I haven't got to say you may be seated for 3 months. I'm so glad to see you. And we really do want you to be comfortable when you come to worship with us. That's why we've done what we've done. We've given you the reopening guidelines. If you didn't happen to get one of those sheets, they're on the table out there too. Charles mentioned there's some stuff out there. We've changed the seating, obviously, in here. We do want you to be comfortable. We do want you to be safe. But we also want to worship. And I'm just trying to stay in tune with the governor and our denominational leaders. And Charles and I and your board will keep working towards what they're telling us. And as we can continue to open up, we will do that. Obviously, keeping in mind COVID-19 and all those things. But we will try to keep you informed just as much as we are. And so we want you to come. We want those that are listening on Facebook Live today to be able to come again in time whenever they're comfortable with that. And so we will try to keep you informed as best we can as how we're doing things. If you got a bulletin, there's some names in there, and I want you to see those names and know that there are people that were here 3 months ago, the last time we worshiped, that'll never be with us again. They've gone on to eternity. That's just the reality of life. And so we will keep you updated on our prayer focus as to those that need prayers, those families that have lost their loved ones during this time. Please remember them in prayer. Please continue to remember the whole rioting and COVID-19, these things that are going on in America. Let us lift them up to the Lord. And of course, we're going to celebrate at the end of our service today and recognize our graduating seniors. And so before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we've looked forward to this day when we could come into the corporate worship like this again for a long time. And we thank you this morning, Father, we can do this. We thank you that you have protected us. You have watched over us. Yes, there has been sickness. Yes, there has been loss of life from COVID-19 in Minnesota, but other causes since we have last been together. But you have continued to guide us, and you have continued to protect us and take care of us, and we give you thanks and praise this morning for that, Father. We do pray for those on the prayer focus, those families that have lost loved ones. Some names were on there earlier, not on there today, but families that have lost loved ones over this time. And folks that are still sick, and folks that are hospitalized, and folks that are struggling with cancer, treatments, and all kinds of things. Father, we lift them all up to you and ask for your will to be done, and that you would continue to watch over each and every one. And Father, we do pray for the salvation of souls in our community, and in our region, in our state, in our nation. We pray that during this time of unrest and difficulty and challenge, that people would turn to you, the living God, and surrender completely to Jesus Christ. Be led by the Spirit and be that new creation as you have called us to be by your word. We pray that that would happen over and over and over again in spite of pandemics and all kinds of difficulty. We pray, oh God, save souls. In Jesus' name we pray. And for our seniors, Father, what a milestone. Watch over them, Lord. Draw them to yourself. Guide them in this pathway we call life. Help them to cling to the cross and to Christ, being led by your Spirit in their decisions in the next chapter, and help them to hold and cling to the truth of Jesus, the truth of the Word of God. Bless them, Lord. Bless their families. And thank you again for them. Guide us as we look at your word for a little while and celebrate with our graduates in just a little while too. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Sherry and I were in Moorhead a couple nights ago. I was doing the funeral for a lady that turned 100 in January. She happened to be, her and her husband were the founding pastor wife of the Leader Mennonite Church in 1948. I wasn't born then yet, but they did nonetheless. They did in fact found it. And I got to know Jonas and Catherine Beachy so well over the years. And Catherine was actually my youth leader. They were living in Fargo, running the Fargo mission at the time, but we were without a pastor, so they're coming back and forth every single weekend. The long and the short of it, Sherry didn't know them then yet at this point, but we come to love those people, and we would visit her often after she lost her husband, and she just meant the world to me. She turned 100 in January. And then COVID-19 hit, and her family couldn't even be with her, and she died last Sunday, I think it was. And I was asked to do her funeral Thursday night. And it was a small funeral because of the restrictions and stuff. And well, we realized in the funeral home there that most everybody was wearing masks, so I asked the funeral director, am I supposed to wear a mask? Sherry and I brought one along. And yeah, he said we'd kind of prefer that. So I went back, get my mask on, and oh man, I've got my mask tangled up in my hearing aids, and I've got my mask tangled up in my glasses, and I'm thinking, and I'm talking to the youngest daughter of the lady that passed away, and I'm saying to Lois, I don't know if I can preach with a mask on. And so her older brother, who many of you know, Ron Beachy, taught and was a good friend of mine, he's the oldest son of this lady. He got up to speak about his mom. He took his mask off, and so I knew then I could take mine off. I could take my mask off, too. Anyway, I just tell you this because things have happened in the three months we haven't been there. We've lost some of our own. Some of our own have gone on to be with Jesus since we last met. And before some of those come back that are hesitant to come back yet, still at home, still sheltering place, we may lose some more. That's just the way life is. I say that because when we're seniors in high school, we have some seniors here today, we're going to recognize them in a few minutes, we don't think about those kinds of things. I know because I was there once. And I wasn't thinking about that then. But when I've read the statistics, and we start to get that 45, you start to think about eternity. We start to realize, I maybe am not going to live forever after all. And so the reality is, even though we're 17, 18 today, or some are younger here, death happens too. And I want to encourage all of us, like our seniors were so encouraged at baccalaureate by one of the moms and by Scripture. Jesus. At the end of the day, and this is what I told that family, because this family is big into sports. And I told them I like sports too. I got the trophies and the medals, but at the end of the day, none of that matters. At the end of life, only Jesus. And so, whether you're young or old today, whether you're just graduating, Jesus, surrendered faith in the Son of God and a willingness to say, I am willing to deny myself and follow Jesus. That's all that will matter at the end. I want to talk to us. I'm diverting from our series that some of you have seen online over the last 6-8 weeks for today because I think it's necessary, and we're also recognizing seniors. Our nation over the last Well, 3 months or so now has seen some difficulty, hasn't it? With the whole pandemic thing, and if that wasn't enough, from coast to coast now we've had riots. We've had unrest. Our state has had plenty of unrest, COVID-19, but then all of a sudden we see this death of George Floyd and the riots spring forth and looting and burning and destruction and mayhem and hatred, difficulty at every level. And some of you have watched my weekly, Charles posts a blog and I post a weekly scripture. I call it my weekly encouragement. Some of you have seen that, and some of you have seen that a couple of weeks ago, I kind of concluded that this COVID-19 thing has kind of brought out the worst in even Christians. The riots, some have brought out even some of the worst of us as Christians. And lately I have seen brothers and sisters of the Lord literally tearing at each other for a lot of reasons, and many of which have no eternal value at all. They're just things to fight about. If the pandemic hasn't got us on edge enough, then the riots have got us on edge. And then while this is an election year and politics has got us on edge, and I've seen the worst come out of people's, in some cases, I've seen the best too, praise be to God. But in some cases, I've seen our worst come out in these difficulties. There's all kind of hot button issues and causing divisions, even in the church. And even recently, I've seen family members at odds, bitterly fighting. I'm talking about family, blood family. Maybe it's politics, maybe it's the death of a loved one, but I've seen bitter fighting, even amongst closest family. And we see all this fighting, we see all this unrest, and way too much even division, and way too often even amongst brothers and sisters in Christ, sometimes so mad at each other we won't even talk to each other, we don't want to see each other. And I've concluded a couple things before I get to my scripture. I've concluded a couple things when that happens. Number one, when we in the church are so wrapped up with internally, and we're so wrapped up with ourselves, whether it's our own hardship, whether it's pandemic, or whether it's I want things my way, whatever it is, when we in the church are so wrapped up with self, we will never be much use to God. If we are so internally focused and so wrapped up, I gotta have it my way, we will never be of much use to God to advance the kingdom. And when we have these pandemics, and when we have these riots, and when we have difficulty, we have death, we have mayhem, this is when the church of God needs to rise up in love and be led by the Holy Spirit of God and used by God to help heal and mend. But when we're too busy fighting amongst ourselves or wrapped up in our difficulties, we've got no time left or energy left perhaps to be used by God. And the other thing I've concluded out of this, when I see this fighting both in and out of the church, I see death. Sometimes, and we all have seen it, senseless, thoughtless death, and we've seen the madness lately. We've seen the destruction, the burning of our own businesses and spray painting, and we've seen all of this stuff. I sense the devil laughing and saying to himself and his followers, the evil side of things, I sense the devil laughing and said, look how easy it was for them to hate each other. I see the devil laughing at the church even. Look how easy it is for them to be angry with each other and killing one another and tearing one another down. And so I've chosen a couple, three verses today for a few minutes about love. The first one comes from John 13, 33. You know these verses, you know them very well, but let me reiterate them for a few minutes this morning. John 13, 33, Jesus is saying this, it's real soon now he will be crucified. He says, little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment. A new commandment I give to you. It's not that he never spoke about love, but he's reiterating and reemphasizing, as he would to us today, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Do you realize, brothers and sisters, that for 3 years, he has mentored them, he has discipled them, he has trained them, he has equipped them, he's getting them ready for the ministry to go, therefore, and make disciples. And he has seen their selfishness. He has been in the middle of their, Jesus, when you get to your kingdom, can I be on your right hand and the other one on your left? He has seen that. He has seen the pride. He has seen the faithless in the 12. He has seen the doubts. He has seen their fears. He has seen their slow ability to listen. And he loved them anyway. And that's what he says, what he means when he says, as I have loved you. If I get much closer, we'll have to put up a spit shield. Like they have at the bank and every place else. If you come late, you'll have to sit in the front row. Then you will be vulnerable. But that's what he means. He has said, I have seen your behaviors. And I'm telling you, Jesus said, I'm telling you, disciples, as I have loved you in your weakness, in your frailties, in your shortcomings, Jim and the church of 2020, I have seen you in your sin. And I am telling you, he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love each other as I have loved you, even in your shortcomings. And when you do, he's got one verse left. When you do love that way, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. The world around us, friends, is hurting right now. Have you noticed? From a lot of reasons. And now is an opportune time. And I said this from the pulpit when you were just listening via Facebook Live. Now is an opportune time for the church to be the church outside the church. Even outside these walls, we must be the hands and feet of Jesus. We must be those that initiate love. We must be those that love like Jesus. He said, a new commandment I'm giving to you, that you love one another like I have loved you, when you weren't lovable either. That's what he's asking of us. The world hurts. It hurts with sickness and death and pain and hatred. The world hurts. Now is not the time for the church to blend into the world, but to stand out in love like Jesus loved. When it comes to racial tension in this nation, and seemingly endless race wars we have found ourselves in, I'm suggesting to us, friends, that the followers of Jesus should be helping with the answer, not contributing to the problem. Do you ever just look at the news on your computer or your phone or the TV and say, Lord, what has happened to us? You ever? Am I the only one? What has happened to us? Seems like we're coming apart at the seams. And I'm wondering this morning, are followers of Jesus setting the stage for peace and reconciliation and healing and love? Are we setting the stage for loving our neighbors? In 1 John 3:11, now John the disciple is reiterating the word of Jesus when he's talking about love. 1 John 3:11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning. This is John reiterating the message that Jesus gave him when he said, a new commandment I give to you. This is John reiterating. He said that we should love one another. Do not marvel, he said, my brethren, if the world hates you. Graduates and those of us that are older, Jesus told us, and so did the disciples, when we are passionately following him, the world may hate you. It may. And John says again, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. In other words, when we have come to Christ, we have surrendered to him, we are led by the Holy Spirit, we have been passed from death to life. And when we do, and we're recognizable as that light that Jesus talks about being and the salt that he challenges us to be, he said, it's quite possible the world will hate you. But listen to what he says. He who does not love his brother abides in death. In other words, don't retaliate with more hatred. Love anyway. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life. Abiding in him, don't hate in return, even though sometimes you're hated for following Jesus. I know that I'm speaking to the choir here, friends, but as believers, we can't say we're a Jesus follower and hate somebody else because they got a different skin color. Are you hearing me? That doesn't compute. That statement has no value. Say, I love the Lord and can't stand somebody with a different skin color. That doesn't compute. 1 John 2:9 says, he who says he's in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. There are things to hate, don't get me wrong. Read Proverbs 6 if you're unaware. God hates some things. And in Proverbs 6, some of the things that God hates is what's been happening lately in America. Check it out this afternoon. Proverbs 6. He's very clear. God hates some of those things and those behaviors. But to hate somebody because they have a different socioeconomic category than I am or skin color is silly. And it's sin. In 1 Corinthians, real quickly, Paul reminds us of the love. That's the love chapter, and I'm just going to read two verses. But listen to what Paul says. I'm still talking about love. Though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or clanging cymbal. In other words, what he's saying is, you can have all the wisdom in the world. You can be the greatest orator there is. You can be the greatest philosopher. You can be the greatest this, that, or the other thing. But if you haven't got genuine love for people, that means nothing. You're just a noise with your oratory brilliance. If you haven't got love, you're nothing but a, a noisy gong. In the next verse, he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy, he goes a little deeper. Maybe I've even got the gift of prophecy, and maybe I can tell the future, and maybe I know all about the Word of God and can tell all kinds of stuff about it. Paul says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I haven't got love, he said, you're still nothing. Love is at the core of who Jesus was and is, and he invites us to be led by his Spirit to love. All the other stuff is secondary. I'll get to Mark 12:29 to close in a minute. All the rest is secondary if we don't have love. That kind of love that we love because we understand he has first loved us. John said that too. We love because he first loved us, and I have come to him by faith, and I have allowed his Spirit to come in, to change me, to move me, and I have a new capacity to love. Listen to me, friends. I'll wrap up. We'll highlight our seniors. If you have been looking or watching or noticing, you know what I'm about to say is true. I have seen during this COVID-19 pandemic anger and bitterness, hatred on display in people in and out of the church. You have too. We have seen the pandemics. We have seen the riots. We have seen the death. And these things aren't bringing out the love in his people, and they should be. I have seen his love on display, and I praise God for that, and I have seen bitterness and anger on display. These difficulties are bringing out the world, even in the church to some degree. But I believe with the help of the Holy Spirit and a new surrendering of our own wills, our own agendas, our own wants, I believe we can do better than we've seen lately with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I believe we can. I believe we can reflect the love of Jesus in a new way. When we surrender ourselves, get ourselves off the throne, and put Jesus back on his rightful place, on the throne of our lives, being led by the Spirit, I believe that we can be people that reflect his love more so than perhaps some cases have been lately. Graduates, and those of you that are here today, there's a great big world out there. You graduates are about to experience a brand new chapter. And in that brand new chapter, you will see there's also a world of hurts. A world of hurting people. A world of difficulty. A world of challenges. A world of beauty, absolutely. A world of opportunity, yes. But mixed in with all of that, you will see a world of people. Some will love you, some will hate you. You will see a world of people that will say one thing and do another. You will see a world that sometimes is very unforgiving. I simply plead with us and encourage us today, graduates and all of us, love Jesus and love others. You say, yeah, but Jim, what if they don't love me in return? Love Jesus and love others anyway. Remember what he said when he was on the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That is the example we are to follow. Love Jesus and love others. When you do stand up for Jesus and others, sometimes it won't be popular. Let me encourage you, graduates and all those of us that are older, love Jesus and love others anyway. The last thing I will share today before I We watch the video of our seniors. Mark 12:29. Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments he is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' This is the first commandment." He's got another one there, but I'm going to say this before I read that. Friends, if we will do that, he will take care of the rest. If his people will love him first with all of who we are, he will take care of the rest. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. You see, friends, 2,000 years ago, God infused his church into society to make a difference. To make a difference in today and to make a difference eternally. And so I encourage our graduates, we're going to watch this presentation before we call them forward to pray for them. Love Jesus and love people always. Wherever you're at, whatever the circumstances, love Jesus and love people.
And as we leave, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have shown to us what true love is by giving your Son Jesus to die for us, that we may live again if we trust in your Son. So, Father, as we go forth this week, help us to love greater, the way that you have intended us to love, which is unconditional. So, Father, may we draw closer to your Son, Jesus. The closer we come to you, the more we can love. So we thank you for your call to go forth and make disciples and to show them the love of Jesus. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.